All right, it looks like we have a full house, so we're going to get started. So thank you, everyone. We're so excited to have you here. This is Stories from the Field, How Michigan Educators Implement Three Smarter Balanced Interim Assessments and Tools for Teachers. Could I just see a show of hands? Who knew about the Smarter Balanced Interim before they came here? Okay. Who knew about Tools for Teachers before they came here? Okay, some. All right, good. All right, so during this session, we're going to focus on how and why to use the interims. You'll get tips, you'll get examples, there'll be some activities, and you'll also hear directly from educators on the ground who are using these in their unique context. I will be talking a lot about Tools for Teachers, which is the little part of Smarter Balance that I'm involved with, and specifically about how we have tools to support all students, and students from special populations and English learners. It's something I'm very passionate about, and I'll be talking about it a lot more. Here's our agenda. And welcome and introductions, and I will pass it off to Jen.
Good morning, everybody. I see that about half of the room is made up of people from the assessment office or related offices. So I'm glad that you're here. You can provide some extra information and support as we talk about the interims this morning. Anyway, I'm Jen Paul. I'm actually the English Learner and Accessibility Assessment Specialist in the assessment office, totally unrelated for the most part from interims, but this is a special project of mine in the office. So I'm here with a great team of folks that are going to share some of their personal stories of how success is happening in their districts, and as Sarah said, she's going to be giving you some info about the systems themselves and how they are. So I'll give it to you. And I actually took some notes this morning because I kind of wanted to address some things for thought based on some things Dr. Ahn shared this morning, because I thought some of the things she stated were very my name is Amber White. I am honored to be affiliated with North Branch Area Schools. It is a rural district in the thumb, but I would challenge to say we don't even have an ISD, which kind of, we have no consultants at our ISD, so I pride ourselves in being progressive and connecting with people, whether it's from MBE or networking, so I'm looking forward to kind of challenging your thinking when you leave here about the benefits and the possibilities with Smarter Balance.
I'm Sarah Whitford, and I am the Assessment Accountability and Grants Specialist for Forest Hills Public Schools, which is a district outside of Grand Rapids. We have about 8,900 students, 3 high schools, 3 middle schools, 11 elementary schools, Spanish immersion, a Mandarin immersion, environmental school, a positive learning, a STEM program. So we are a very diverse and interesting district, and I am here to give my testimonial of our journey, such as it is, with our interims and Tools for Teachers. I'm very excited to be here. So, thanks.
Why do interims even matter? Why should we care about them? I know for the last 20 years, we've been really focused on summative assessments, and we started thinking about balanced assessment systems, and then we focused, I think, at the state around formative assessments, and you'll see a FAME table out front, just down from us a little ways. So if you don't know about FAME, check out the formative assessment table in the front. But also, as a part of our system, we have, and we should be thinking about, interim assessments. So why do they even matter? A first point that we should be thinking about is they do allow us to do regular progress throughout the year, as many times as you want, in whatever way you'd like to kind of chalk things up from an instructional standpoint. They do allow for that. They should then also be allowing for the adaptation of instruction. They should be giving you, as an educator, enough information that it should be informing then what you do in the classroom. They should also identify student supports and resources. if you see students not making progress in particular areas of content, then you should be making some outreach and providing extra support and resources. And really, above all of these things kind of point to the aspect of data-driven decision. That's really what the interim provides for you in this. You probably all know this. You see it at an assessment, and so clearly you're interested in data and assessment to some degree. I think this is not that's good. You're in the right place then. And then at the bottom, I have this major point here. All of these things, and I'm going to talk about it on the next slide as well, but all of these things really get us towards maintaining a cohesive educational experience. That's what we want for our students. That's what is going to allow us to make progress and grow and go in the direction that we want to go. Specifically, when we think about the Smarter Balance interns, they are aligned to Michigan's ELA and MAXIM. There's no question that they are. They are aligned in the same way that our MSTEP assessments are aligned as far as content. We have a student experience that looks and feels like MSTEP for the Smarter Balance interns. That's arguably an incredibly important aspect of the Smarter Balance interns. We're using the same system. We're using DRC system for the interns. So when students sit down to take the interns, it's going to look and feel exactly like what they do when they sit down and do the MSTEP. That's good for the students. One of the big selling points, I think, is, you know, looking back at when I was a teacher in the classroom, what would I have liked to have had? This provides item analysis. That's a huge piece. From an instruction standpoint, you can literally dig down and then see, well, where did the students go wrong? How was the question worded? What was that question connected to from a content perspective? What were the distractors? So where are students' misconceptions, right? You can literally do that with the Smarter Balance interview. Fourth bullet point, it's aligned to the informative assessment for the clinical evaluation. I already mentioned the same, we're not going to be able to talk a lot about it in this session, but it certainly aligns to that system. And then lastly, the Smarter Balance interim resources and system that Sarah and everybody's going to talk about today, they are optional. They are also free, so there's no upfront cost in terms of getting anything, having to do anything that lets you test with the Smarter Balance. And then again, above all, I can't say this enough, I think that the Smarter Balance interns system, along with the tools for teachers, it, again, maintains that cohesive educational experience. You have something that is aligned from beginning to end. So your measurement tools that you use, that you're using then, all look and feel the same. They're all aligned in the same way. So that way you can be sure that when you're looking at your data and you're doing that data analysis, it all means the same thing. It means the same in as many ways as possibly. There's no substitute for that. There really is. All right. Sarah's going to talk to you a little bit about tools for teachers, and then we'll dig into the some of the stories that everybody else.
Thank you. So just to link a little bit to what Jen said about the free part of Smarter Balanced, unlike a lot of other people or other organizations, I should say, in the field, Smarter Balanced is not for profit. We're technically we're a consortium. We are owned by the members who include you. And so when we're making our products, conversations about how do we make a profit off of this are not in the room. And I really think that allows us to focus even more closely on teaching and learning. So Tools for Teachers is a website, and it offers really targeted lessons for reteaching a skill. You can get there in a couple different ways. If you give an interim on like third grade geometry, when you go in to look at your student reports, you can get to Tools for Teachers directly from that. So it will send you to grade 3 geometry lessons. You can also use a search feature to look up lessons by content, standard, grade, all of those good things. And then you can also use the Interim Connections playlists to find lessons like about a specific set of skills. So, oh, we have a bunch of high school statistics lessons in one spot. And those also include really fun things like academic vocabulary, suggestions for intervention, student performance progressions, and more. And when I was still in schools, PLCs really loved just looking at those Interim Connections playlists and talking. Just a group of teachers saying, here's all the academic vocabulary our students need to know. Oh, you've been using the word claim in your class and we say thesis? Yeah, that might use some tips. So it's a really rich item. So just to show you what some of those highlights look like for the playlists, we've got the student performance progressions broken down by topic. So again, just getting a bunch of people to talk about what that looks like is a really valuable tool to think deeply about teaching and learning and make sure that we're holding our students to the level of rigor that we want to see. Again, academic vocabulary. Like when I was a classroom teacher, someone had just handed me a list of all the academic vocabulary for a particular topic. And then suggestions for intervention. We love to talk about collecting data and interpreting and analyzing data, and then oftentimes teachers who've done that go back to their classroom, and none of their practices change because they didn't have that part of the conversation. And most teachers can tell you which students are struggling and which students are ready to move on. And so by not just saying, oh yeah, this kid isn't meeting proficiency, being really explicit about what you can do to help that kid will save our teachers time, and it will alleviate some of that pressure to differentiate for every single kid. I could literally present on this for 3 more hours, but I won't. So handing it off to Amber.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm looking forward to sharing our journey a little bit with the Smarter Balance. As I said, I'm a rural district over on the east side opposite of my colleague here. At the end, I want to kind of address or kind of actually Dr. Evans illuminated something to me that actually gives me confirmation about it, because if you look at all the parts that we're going to be talking about, it's not just about the assessment, the playlist like she's talking about. That's like, what can I actually do with students, which is huge. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of my journey and maybe give you some boots to the ground, some ways you might want to get some inspiration in your district as well. So I start off with this. We came to this job, we're dream makers, we're trying to get kids involved. Our job is to make sure kids can succeed, right? The sky's the limit. Well, in the past, there was this linear ladder to the top where you would just take these steps up the rung, very linear fashion to go. But I would argue why that's not working anymore in today's society. Now we've got globalization, right? Smarter and smarter machines and AI, and things are changing. So the things that we need for our students, not only in instruction, but to mirror the assessment, are changing. We now are moving to this knowledge-based economy. I would argue instead of ladder climbers now, you hear the research, our kids will have multiple jobs, right? They're no longer this loyal one time. You know, they're in a lot of us have been, I've been in the same place for 30-some years. I love it. But kids now are going to need agility and the ability to climb and be mobile and adapt. And so the idea of this rote memorization of learning and that practicality, it's not there anymore. Not when information is doubling, 2.5 doubling exponentially every year, right? We need to be more applicable because you need to be applying knowledge. That was Akko and Dr. Evans' talk this morning. So we're trying to develop these 21st century skills, these rock climbers, with all of these 6 C's. We've heard these. The critical thinking, I'd argue, is paramount now for media literacy, being able to distinguish and question what's being pushed out, whether it's social media, news, wherever you're getting your news. All of these things, going forward, collaborating, writing, speaking, these are the things that our assessment should measure and be looking at, these rock climbing skills, not the multiple choice linear fashion of assessment. So what drove our journey is always drives my journey is what's best interest of our students. That is simply it. And I will tell you this, if it's the easier path, 9 times out of 10, it's not probably the right one. It is challenging. It is hard, but this is what we come back to each day in our district. We just say, is it good for kids? Yes or no? That's how easy it is for us. And if it's no, we don't do it. And if it's yes, what are the barriers? And that's exactly what we did with Smarter Bag. So there's a couple contentions I want to put out here. I think I'm excited that these mirror Dr. Evans' presentation. I did not look at her presentation, but personally, when I talked with teachers, these aren't only my contentions, but I would argue my leadership, my instructional coaches, my teachers, even our parents. These are things that we want. Like I said, I would argue that there is actual insights for teachers on this assessment, and there's a ton for administration and leadership as well. And I think that's what makes this assessment appealing and unique. I show this because in our district, we have 3 or 4 shared Board of Education goals. And what I'm going to focus on with all of those parts of data is the achievement lens. But we all know this is a piece of a very complex puzzle that I'm talking about today. Of course, I didn't put the potholes in there because there's a lot of those on our journey. So here's ultimately what we're working toward for career and college readiness. They talked again this morning about the triangle, the school, the curriculum, instruction, and assessment. But I'm going to focus on that last one, measuring how we did with the what. So I'm assuming you've got strong tier one. That's super important because then you don't have to worry much about tier two, tier three. Those are still important. But you want something that mirrors your tier one instruction. And I think Jen said it eloquently, smarter balance aligns with our curriculum goals and our standards. It is not kind of mismatch or trying to match stuff up and some of it matches. It all matches. It aligns. And that was very appealing to us. So in our district, I want to say 8 years ago, right before Read by 3 was coming out with their list, and not a lot of people were just keeping on with another assessment that I won't name. I'm not saying no assessment is inherently evil or bad. It's what you do with it and what you can get from it. But we asked ourselves what would be, best when we're looking at measuring our implementation. So we started this assessment investigation. Do we want something that's going to take us deep sea diving, not just leave us on top floating with our floaties on? So I would normally give a metacognitive minute, but I'm not here for the whole time. So I just want to present a couple of things. It kind of mirrors what was done this morning, which I'm super elated about because my thinking parallels what Dr. Evans was saying. We looked at every single assessment that was out there that met that criteria list for interim requirements for Read by K-3 and some other things. Honestly, you've got the same question on the left versus the right. Neither one is inherently awful, but it boils down to what's being emphasized, right? So on the left, you've got multi-step, written justification, more explanation, some mathematical modeling, versus just more less application and more just factual recall. So again, on the left, it's emphasizing a breadth or multitude of standards versus focusing on just simple specific application. The application for building rock climbers, in my opinion, and with my coaches, weren't there. So again, we went through all these different assessment options. We actually did them, took them as adults, and had this conversation. And what it boiled down to for us is this question. They're both measuring the same content standard, but what is that application piece? So for us, I put a puzzle piece because this is one piece of many that we have in our district. I believe in authentic portfolio assessment. We do it BK-12. I think there's a lot to be told about more of those kind of collections. But this is a good fit for us. Smarter Balance is a great fit. So there's multiple moving parts. There is the summative comprehensive assessments. There are the interim assessment blocks where you can look at certain specific standards. And then there's the tools, which is fabulous, that Sarah talked about earlier, where there's just a plethora of resources if you're looking to improve and actually get boots on the ground and do things for intervention. So I want to give some rationale very quickly. I'm going to kind of flush all these open. There are forces and constraints with any assessment, but for me, I would argue this makes the most sense when we think about how the world is going and the rock climbers that we need to build. So I'm going to click each of these areas and quickly show you how Smarter Balance helped us make this decision. So I'm going to pull back the curtain on those and kind of reveal what we showed. So I don't have to spend a lot of time here. I'm looking across the room. There's a lot of knowledge here. If you look, this is just an example. When we talk about our Michigan content standards in ELA and mathematics, it aligns beautifully. To me, that was a no-brainer. It wasn't, I have to go in and check stuff. It literally aligns with what we are expected to do. And you can see, you can go in, you can click, and all those red things are hyperlinked, and you can actually go in. This is a third grade example. I already mentioned the different kinds of assessments that are available. I would also challenge, we've done the performance assessments. Those are pretty stellar as well. Pretty good where we had some group scoring going on and looking at those. That could be a whole nother session. So I'm going to say this. The reporting is ridiculously good. It is incredibly good, and probably one of the things that just impressed all of us is all the way down from leadership to teachers. It just is really, really helpful. So this is an overall class report. Yep, it's got that, but below where I want you to pay attention is below, you can literally see, this is just a baseline. This is like a typical reporting. This is the same teacher class from this school year. The first one they did in September. You can see the sales report average. Yeah, you can get that overall reporting, which is decent. They have everything measured up to the sales force to fall in the areas, which is a traditional test. But I'm going to keep spinning the knob and going a little deeper. Here's, again, some of the overclass reporting. So it shows where on a sales score, where this class would fall now. As of February, this class is on an excellent trajectory. This is an overall look. So you got that leadership. You can disaggregate. You can look at gender, you can look at your different demographics, social, free reduced lunch, however you want to break it up. But then, all of these claims reporting as well mirror the MSTEP. And so just let me show you this a little bit. So those look familiar, reading, writing, listening, research, inquiry. Those identically mirror MSTEP, which, bonus, makes a lot of sense as a teacher. I'm testing what I'm supposed to be working on, the claims. This is the part that just, I just got to say, like, she mentioned, and I totally agree with it, we sometimes have to look for a different purpose for assessment when I say she, Dr. Evans. But what's unique about Smarter Balance is not only do you get the administrative decisions to do things, but you get boots on the ground. I can literally go in, teachers literally go in. Not only can they see the question, they can see what the child put for the question. You can quickly desegregate it in terms of which one, you know, which question was missed the most. You can actually click on the student and see what they put. You can study the question. You can see what standard. You can drill down and go to the claim. You can see so much. And that alone was like blowing people's minds. Like, this is helpful. People are like, this is helpful. And I would make the notion that we're not going to go back and reteach. I agree with Dr. Evans. But guess what we do with that information? We look at our tier one instruction. Are we upholstery method covering things, not addressing it? How well are we developing? It's not about going back and reteaching. It's about looking at your solid tier one instruction, which I think is phenomenal. Again, here's an example that they can see the questions. You can actually, if there's a rubric involved with it, you can see that. You can click on the target. Every kid, you can actually see what they answered. You can see the real answer. It's just really incredible. So, here's, Jen mentioned, you can either break it down by key distractors, item difficulty, you can connect it to the standard, you can look at it across the roster, you can look at it individually, you can look at it through a lens of demographics. It's good stuff. There's instructional resources. Here's just the individual reporting. Again, you can see that this mirrors, there's MSTEP on the left. I just wanted to show that we're not doing different things, confusing parents. It lines up beautifully. It makes, to us, it just makes a great deal of sense. Again, we talked about the tools for teachers. I think with all the assessments and the performance of students, you can actually put a tailored playlist together of things that you could use for supplemental instruction. This isn't to replace core instruction. These are things that are supplemental. A lot of teachers, it's MTSS time. What am I doing? What can I do that's beneficial? How about working on something that's aligned to the Michigan standards in an area that they could use support? I'd also argue, when I think about tier instruction, I think about those on, I always think about the diamond versus the triangle model, because we also have kids who need enrichment. and need those contingent standards, this is excellent in that regard as well. Again, my blurb is a little bit quick. I could speak a lot longer, but because of taking a close look, really closely, I would challenge you to look at the question she asks is look at what you're doing with your current assessments. What are they measuring? What are you doing with them? If you're not doing anything with them, your teachers aren't doing anything with them, I would argue that you will get a lot out of this. This is very useful. The teachers enjoy, they can access the reports on their own. We do push it out through the DRC. I've got a technical wizard. We've not had issues in our district because I have someone I work closely with. But it is definitely something I would strongly encourage you to take a look at. Just a couple things here. Mary mentioned we didn't pick it because it was free. I'm going to tell you that. That is not me. So we do not pick assessments because they're we really took our time and looked to see is this going to which of these assessments are going to meet our needs the best. And I would really encourage you to go through, take the assessments, just like with the dyslexia stuff coming out. Guess what I've already done? I've already set up. I've already met with Amira. I already got my free licenses to look at that. I've already looked at the Dibbles 8th edition. We go through, we take it. We make a list of the affordances and constraints. We are very thoughtful and strategic in our district when we make decisions. It's not in a vacuum. It's about that main driving question, what's best for students. Bonus, all the tools align 100% with the MSTEP. Hey, I don't think I have to explain to anybody in this room in the state of Michigan why that makes sense. When you're using the highlighter, the note taker, the cross-off tool, it is the exact same format, the exact same tools. It's almost like blows my mind when I talk to other districts that they're using another interim versus this, and it's free and it aligns. And I don't always understand it, but sometimes I think it's that part of where sometimes it's especially you've got to kind of rattle some cages, but you also have to be boots on the ground and do what's best for kids. And so having those conversations, getting your staff involved, and really asking, like, what are we doing with this data? Let's look at other options. Let's go through and take these. That's part of the process I would challenge you to take back to help get people on board. Have the filtering up there because, like I said, you can filter by desegregate by different demographics, which are very helpful at the leadership level. Time, you want something timely, time intensive, it's not. You have a window of where you can give it. Within the state of Michigan, you can give those when you need to give them, whether it's comprehensive or the interim assessment blocks, which are smaller chunks. The other part is I put up the text-to-speech symbol because it has a lot of the same tools and amenities that are offered on the MSTEP as well, okay? There's a couple more, like I think they're a little bit looser with the text-to-speech under grade 6, but we follow the MSTEP rules with that. As someone that I oversee, I'm like, yeah, we're not doing it. We're going to follow the same rules for passages. So, like, it will allow, I believe, passages, which some kids could maybe benefit from that if you're using it. We follow a lot of the same policies and things that we use in the state of Michigan with the tools, but they have great assistive or different designated supports that align with MSTEP. And then I want to end by showing you, this is just one measure and piece of the puzzle, but I like sharing this because I feel like it shows, we take a lot of pride in our district. We are Title I. We have one elementary, one middle school. We are not an affluent community. We have kids who never leave Lapeer County. We are very serious about making sure our kids have the world at their hands. We are putting on a district-wide AI conference on Friday. We are progressive. We want our kids to be ready for the world they're going to inherit. And I would argue working with assessments, doing things that measure things that they're going to do key, here's our math, we're doing very well. There were my contentions, and then I'm going to end with this. I would argue that these are aligned. There's aligned instructional resources. You can make this data actionable, not just compliance reporting. You will actually do something with it, as will teachers. I think it is, you know, the expectations for rigor are there. I think it does can reduce the workload by offering some of those supplemental instructional resources that people so desperately want when they're struggling in a couple areas. So please, you know, give it some thought, rethink assessment. I'm happy to reach out or have any communications that anybody's interested in. And without further ado, I will turn it over to the next. I want to make sure you get your card in here.
Okay. I will start from our journey. Our journey began this time last year when I sat in on Sarah's and Ellen's presentation of the counterbalanced interim assessments and to teachers. And I sat here and was like, are you kidding me? This is free? All of this stuff? What? You know, I'd seen the tools for teachers before, and I actually had it bookmarked and, you know, have shown it to some people, but all of a sudden there was this light bulb, oh my gosh, it's connected to, I can make this relevant, too. So, very excitedly, I went back to, not block you guys, sorry, I went back to my district. Like next week, I called a meeting with my assistant superintendent and our directors of instruction, and I'm like, yes, this is great. Take a look at this. And I showed them, and we got Sarah on the phone, and she showed us all the things that were great. They were in. And then I took it to our instructional coaches and kind of the leadership, and principals and stuff like that about another week later. And their reaction was, that's the best way I can describe it. Assessment, you said assessment. No, we don't have any more time for assessment. What are we going to take? What? And they're like, So then that was last year. July or so, I think you guys asked me, would I consider being, you know, telling our journey and, you know, giving a testimonial of our success in our district. At that point, I had no one using the interims. I'm like, sure, because, yeah, I'll tell you the good, bad, and ugly. Like, this is great stuff. These are fantastic research. It is actionable and powerful for teachers, and I'll show you that in a little bit. But, yeah, I was like, sure, yeah. And it kind of went into September. It wasn't until... basically, I had my big break where our director of, she's now elementary instruction, set me up and another principal and one of our instructional coaches to do a professional learning session, 3-hour, on one of our PD days in October. And we got some audits. Every elementary school had to send a representative, so they were falling cold to go to our session. Not everybody was super happy about it. We got applause at the end. I kid you not. They were about, and from there it just sort of caught fire. She was it with certain teams, but people were brought in. I called these guys and like, I'm excited. This is fantastic. People are buying in. But I will say, you know, the interims, the tools for teachers, it's overwhelming. And when I started, would show it to people, you know, it's just, there's a lot there. Like, where you start. So, how do I create that info? How do I, what do I connect? And this is where I come. Oh, yeah, shout out to, what Okay, so this is agenda. It's sort of adapted. It was a little different on the day, but I've created, put it on PDF. If you want the slide deck, just let me know. I'll be happy to send you the actual slide deck so you can work from it. But this is kind of a modification. This is basically how we presented in that 3-hour meeting the activities that we thought of doing. And so first of all, so this is where, what we did, this is where it's like, how to connect it, was the interim assessments connecting it to plans and targets. And starting first with understanding what plans and targets have, they don't see, there's no score for plans and targets. There's no, and they don't see the MSTEP student report. They don't see, they've got some other places where they vaguely reflect, but all we ever talk about really is performance levels. So, we've got to understand why does this matter, plans and targets. So, and from there, I connect it to the next step. Here's how I'm gonna put everything in context for you. So I'll say what we did. The first part was, I'm just gonna, this kind of, here's the landscape. Why are we talking about, these school teachers? How do they all connect, to what we're doing? Here's the part where, yes, we talked about plans and targets. See these little things down here? There are no, plans and, plans are made up of targets. Plans are made up of targets. And this, Andy, is my absolute favorite report that the MDE produces, and I wish we could do it like this. This is insane, because here's where it's relevant. Talk about data analysis, but looking at, I'm assuming there's everybody who understands this, if you want me to talk more about what the plans and targets report not seen it, it's very difficult to interpret. You've got circles, you've got trains, but basically it's taking your and breaking them down into their smaller target areas, and then saying, relative to the overall of the school, was this target. Triangles are strengths. Here is what we have to do, because 1 year of one little circle or a triangle doesn't do anything. Where is our position? What is our curriculum? Our student teachers, what is it? What is a relative strength, and what is a relative, perhaps a weakness, and why is that? So what I had people do is actually just, I built these for them. Now I can add years and so forth to it. And I'm happy to share it with anybody who had to do the template. You can start to email me. Happy to do that. But this is great. We've kind of done this for years. That's where I, kind of check everyone in terms of, understanding, first of all, what the kinds of types are. we had them, take a look. This is just a recap of that. And then these gems down here, this is where, if you don't know about this, I know Ellen Bernkamp's work many years ago was to connect the CLA crosswalks, and the crosswalks are on the MDE website or webpage. We'll break down those, the claim, list the target, assess attack the standards to them, so it's also helpful. And let's see. So, we did that. And then what I had them do was look at your target analysis, look at trends, pick one or two paired to the target that you want to put their weakness, asking for weakness, and do that. And then we're going to go to, then go here to this lovely overview document, which is great. It tells you all about what, you know, what are the interim steps here. So, you've got your, the different levels of interim assessment. But it also, if you go all the way to starting on page 7, you've got your menu. That's what I've been calling menus because, there's a little, I've noticed there's been some, misconceptions of everyone's class. So, from the menu, basically, I had them find the name of the assessment that matches the target you're interested in. And then once they have that, then they go and they start to dive into the resources. So, we talked a little bit about, from there, we talked a little bit about, you have the option of administering the test online, but I can also show you where you can get to the interim assessment, print it all out on paper, or select individual questions from that. And we have different levels of teacher teams. Some of them who have given the interim, mostly the focus interim assessments, and then some who are just using the questions. One of the great things Sarah shared in the last year when we presented, and that I've actually seen our teachers do too, is to take an individual question, do put it up on the board, and do a number class. So many different ways to do this, but I'll tell you the story of great. story of sitting with one of my fourth grade teams that was they picked interim assessments, they gave them, they started analyzing it, they look at the questions that you can do, because they gave it online. And then they ended up that they're looking at the question and it was the question mark. Because we're trying to teach students about making inferences, we can build business awareness, we just like, there's a question mark here. We're working on show, don't tell. And they immediately dive into the interim assessment connected to the playlist. They pull up one of the slide decks from that and say, hey, here's, we can teach this next week on inferences, and this will help us. So it was just this great, magical, very small. So our approach has been very invitational. There is, again, no expectation of any administration online. It's whatever you'd like to do. When people start to freak out a little bit, I say, you're giving your students exposure to their actual MCET interface. So when they sit down to take it, that's not the first time. You're getting feedback on the reader. And secretly, the biggest piece is that our teachers are seeing the questions and the rigor of the questions. Maybe for the first time, even though they've had many exposures to Smarter Balance, they've given them, connections to their list. But yes, that is, one of the most powerful pieces of it is to see that level. And teachers rise to it. And it gives them something they can see from the level. So that's been really cool.
Right. Now comes the interactive portion of our session. We talk at you a lot with these fantastic stories about the success of using these tools. So now it's an opportunity for you all to talk, and I'm hoping that you see folks, partner with others, or at least listen in and see from. Got a couple questions. What instructional changes could you make immediately, and what would you need to stop doing to make room for those conversations? How will you insert internal practical, valuable, and connected to student needs? What collaboration or systems with colleagues, administration, data review cycles, what things do you already have in place do you need to make this work? And then lastly, how would you ensure that interns are meaningfully connected to student interests, background, and learning preferences? You probably won't get all of the questions, so maybe pick one that you're interested in and have a conversation with some folks around you. We will give you all 5. You have 10 minutes to start deep diving into how you're going to make some change happen or how you might conceive of making some change. Ready, set, go.
All right, if you guys could please wrap up your conversations, we're going to move into the final portion of our presentation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go a It sounds like you all had some good conversations, and I was really happy to see that you had just the right amount of people, I think, to be in each group listening and helping, providing some additional information. There were some important things that I heard in the conversations that I was eavesdropping on that I think I just want to touch on really quickly. There are different ways that you can currently choose to implement this system in your district. It's not a all or nothing scenario. I want to make that clear to us. It's not the case that you have to sign on to do Smarter Balance interns and use tools for teachers and then immediately reject everything else that you've already been doing or currently have in place. That's not the case. You can certainly pick and choose teams of people. You might have some folks that are definitely, they're always on board to try something new, and you know who those people are. Maybe there's some larger conversations you can have that are more systemic, and you can say, well, we're going to do it in just one elementary building, right? So there's different ways that you can choose to set this up and structure it. Bree also mentioned to this group over here that, you know, if you want to get into these systems now, like today or tomorrow even, start playing around with them, you can get access to just look at things without assigning students, without making commitments to do anything. You just want to see what's there. You can absolutely do that. And you may have already involved someone. So, done. They're in, right? It happens that quickly. So, it's much easier from an administration standpoint, obviously, when you start talking about some of the tests. I'm going to get to that in just a second. 5 minutes. Okay. All right. Thanks. Did any other questions come up that maybe you didn't get an answer to that you can try to address right now? All right. There are some resources that are available in the PowerPoint, and hopefully you know how to get to the PowerPoint for today. There's a link in the program, maybe a QR code as well in there. But just to point out a couple things, this document right here, this interim assessment overview document, really gives you that big level picture of, all right, here's the grade levels that the interims cover, here's the content areas, here's how it connects to the CSP teacher system. It provides you all of that great information in a summary handout. So that's something that I would point you to read, and then also something that you could use to take for others in your district as well. There's a couple introductory videos that you can check out. There's also a reporting sandbox, which is really cool. So again, you can try these things out and see what they look like. And then there's a corresponding interim assessment interpretive guide that helps you understand what those scores actually mean. Amber and Sarah pointed out reports and showed you kind of what's there, but this obviously is going to go a little bit deeper. You guys are all Q&A time. What questions do you have? How is, on a scale of 1 to 5, how excited are you to learn more about the internet? Andy's got a 5. That makes sense, right? Good. Okay. So there's some excitement. I'm really glad to hear that. Again, not to pick on the students in this conversation, but they had some interesting points. One of the things that came up was, well, why aren't more people using this? Excellent question. Because from my perspective, and I think from everybody that actually knows and understands the system or has been using it, it's a high quality product that, I'm going to go back to that point that I need to start with. It provides you with an incredibly cohesive system that will help move your students and your school in the direction you need to go. Go ahead. Yes, that's absolutely a challenge. I think a great start is trying to start small, and then it catches fire and more people get on board. That's a great tactic for overcoming some of those obstacles.
And just to piggyback off of that, if you want to have a conversation like the conversation I had with Sarah, where we talk out your context, what you need, what might work, like, please don't hesitate to email me. It's my favorite part of my job when I get to talk about how to make our product help your educators and students.
All right. Exit ticket for you is to complete a survey for me. So there's a QR code. It's not a what did you think of our session type of a survey. It's a, are you interested in learning more about the interns? Would you be interested in maybe doing it in your district? If you're not interested in doing it, tell me why you're not interested. So that will just help us in the department as we start to reach out more on this topic. Okay, so grab the QR code. There's the bit.ly as well up there. Once you've completed that, you've done the assessment. For our session,